asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSM. North Korea has held a military parade one day ahead of the opening of the Winter Olympics in neighboring South Korea. The games will see both Koreas march under one flag at the opening ceremony. Leader Kim Jong-un told cheering crowds the parade illustrated North Korea's emergence as a world-class military power, despite facing what he called the worst sanctions. A day before the parade, it was announced Kim Jong-un's sister will become the first member of the Kim family to cross the border when she attends the opening ceremony. The lawyer for the victims of the Brussels shootout involving alleged Paris terror attacker Salah Abdeslam has accused him of mocking the Belgian justice system by refusing to attend his own trial. FSN's Europe correspondent Jack Parrock has more.
French national Salah Abdeslam's refusal to attend his trial in the city of Brussels, where he grew up, caused the lawyer representing the police officers injured in the shootout to brand his attitude tiring. The trial started Monday, where Abdeslam refused to answer questions and accused the court of having an anti-Muslim bias. Prosecutors are pressing for a 20-year jail sentence for Abdeslam and the Tunisian man who fired the gun used in the shootout, Sofiane Ayari. Ayari's lawyer called the media interest in this trial pornographic. Salah Abdeslam will also face trial in France for his role in the Paris attacks. Jack Parrock, Brussels.
Bank of England Governor Mark Carney says UK interest rates could rise sooner and faster than previously thought if the economy remains on track. It comes as the bank announced policymakers voted to hold interest rates at 0.5% at their latest meeting. Economists believe the next interest rate rise could come in the spring. Governor Mark Carney says interest rate rises will aim to return inflation rates to target.
It will be necessary, likely to be necessary, to raise interest rates to a limited degree in a gradual process, but somewhat earlier and to a somewhat greater extent than we had thought in November. And that reflects the evolution of the forecast. Stronger world, slightly less supply, greater excess demand, change in the trade-off.
A new study conducted by the Indian government says that one in every three Indian women has experienced violence at home. The survey also found that among married women, 83% reported sexual assault by their husbands. FSN's India correspondent Neha Punia has more.
The Indian government's survey has thrown light on the poor state of safety of Indian women. The report says that women in rural India face more violence than in urban areas. Most of the times, perpetrators of this violence have been husbands. 31% of all married women polled have experienced physical, sexual or emotional violence by their spouses. Marital rape remains illegal in India, with the Indian government claiming that marital rape does not exist. Neha Punia, New Delhi.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thanks, Catherine Drew. Welcome to Thursday's programme. Hope you're well. Hope you're in good form and fine fettle as it approaches 3 minutes past the hour. My name is Richie Allen. Got a great show lined up for you this Thursday. Tweet at Richie Allen Show anytime between now and the end of the programme. Let me know what you're thinking about the issues being discussed on today's show.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv. It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Now, you know what about Dean Henderson? Top man is Dean, terrific broadcaster, brilliant writer, the author of Big Oil and Their Bankers in the Persian Gulf, Four Horsemen, Eight Families and Their Global Intelligence, Narcotics and Terror Network. He's also written Sticking It to the Matrix and A Federal Reserve Cartel and other books. Great guy. Dean joins the programme this hour. It's a slightly shorter programme than normal. I'll tell you why in a minute. It's a 90-minute rather than a two-hour show. I've got to leave a bit earlier. But in the meantime, I've got a really interesting news roundup for you. I've got some interesting things to share with you. And of course, questions for Dean Henderson. Comments on George Soros, because that's what we're going to talk about, Dean and I. The life and times and the influence of the so-called billionaire philanthropist George Soros. It's going to be interesting with Dean Henderson. Right. Excuse me. I needed a bit of music there while I coughed. Bit of a frog in my throat there momentarily. Yeah, I'm a very good friend is in town from the Republic of Ireland. I didn't know that till today. He's only around until the very early AM tomorrow morning. So I'm going to finish it around about 8:30. So it's a 90-minute programme, so I can grab a word with him, somebody I haven't seen in several years. But you won't miss out. It's still a packed programme. And as I said, Dean Henderson speaking about George Soros is going to be very interesting later this hour. Now, straight to the big stories of the day. We are live on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv. Sexual harassment. The silliness of all this. It's getting silly. It's getting annoying. And I think those who were inclined to write about it from a more measured and calm perspective or point of view have gotten bored and they've disappeared, and all we're left with now are the Helen Lovejoy Brigade. Won't somebody please think of the children? Andrea Leadsom is heading up a committee. It's going to try and change the behaviour of members of Parliament. And the BBC writes today that MPs who have been found bullying or harassing their staff will have to write a letter of apology and undergo training under new proposals. In more serious cases, they could be suspended or forced to face a public vote on their future. You heard that, right? In more serious cases of sexual harassment or bullying, they could be recalled effectively and forced to face the public and a public vote. They're just turning the whole thing into reality television. I told you this. I've been saying it to you for 2 years, even though the programme is 3.5 years old. I've been saying it on other radio programmes for even longer than that. They're going to turn the whole thing into a reality TV show, and they'll force you to watch it. Madness, this. A cross-party committee drew up these plans, including plans for a code of conduct, new behaviour and behavioural rules for members of Parliament. The Commons leader, Andrea Leadsom, who chaired this committee, she said this is a major step in bringing about the culture change that Parliament needs. And you can hear just a smidgen of what Leadsom had to say today in the House.
Sexual harassment and sexual violence are different from other forms of inappropriate behaviour, such as bullying and intimidation. Therefore, separate procedures will be agreed for those looking to raise a complaint regarding sexual harassment to those with a complaint of bullying. This is an important distinction, and whilst everyone has acknowledged the severity of complaints of sexual harassment, evidence from staff made clear that instances of intimidation and bullying are in fact more prevalent.
Sky News reporter Beth Rigby runs the rule over exactly what is going on and what is being said. Beth Rigby.
I think in terms of the recommendations, it would be what people would expect. But what the big surprise was really in the report was the level and prevalence of sexual harassment and intimidation that people in Parliament said that they had experienced. Over half of MPs and peers' staff said they'd experienced, witnessed or heard of bullying or harassment as part of their job. In 1 in 5 of the respondents into the research that Andrea Leadsom and her team carried out said that they had been themselves a victim of sexual harassment. So a new code of conduct couldn't come soon enough. I've just come back actually from interviewing Andrea Leadsom and I asked her herself, had she experienced sexism or indeed been sexually harassed herself? She said that she had faced challenges herself as an MP who joined the Commons in 2010. So even the most senior of Conservative women subject to sexual harassment and experiencing it firsthand. So she's quite punchy on what she wants to do. She definitely wants to push this code through. There will have to be votes in the Commons. I asked her too about anonymity. Why was it that victims and those that complainants and those that are accused would have anonymity? Was that the right thing to do? She said that she had sought to put the complainants' feelings at the heart of everything that she had put forward. And it was important that people could come forward and make complaints without fear of their names getting into the press, getting into the public, and then them being harassed by the media or such like. So she defended the anonymity thing. She also said that she did want to see potential suspensions or even expulsions in the most serious instances. And she definitely left me with an impression that she really was going to take action on this, push these changes through the House of Commons and the House of Lords, and hopefully begin to change the culture in Westminster.
Change the culture. There is a new behaviour code because of all the sexual harassment and all of the bad behaviour. And make no mistake about it, this new code of behaviour and these recommendations are for men and are for men only. Now, I was given a leaked copy of this code of conduct with some of these new rules on it. Yes, I was. Exclusively. The Richie Allen Show obtained, well, a very rare thing, a copy of this leaked document. Now, a lot of good men died to bring me this information. Some of them may have been sexual harassers. I don't know, so don't weep for them. But I've managed to get the top five, that is the top five new rules for men exclusively. They say it's for MPs in general, but for men working at Westminster. Do you want to hear the new rules? Right, rule number five. When you walk with a female colleague, you walk in front of her, never beside her, just in case you're tempted into a quick sideways glance at her tits. Also, never, ever walk behind her in case you can't keep your eyes off her arse. Rule number four. If you drop something, anything, in the presence of a female colleague, keys or loose change, never ever bend down while facing her in case you're tempted to look up her skirt. You must turn 180 degrees so that you now have your back to her, then and only then can you bend down to pick up the keys. If the room is full of women, leave the keys there and wait till they've left the room. Rule number three, when handing something, anything, to a female colleague, wear gloves. She does not need to be groped by your fumbling, sleazy tentacles, you grubby little bastard. What a monster you are. All men are bastards. Rule number two. When driving a female colleague to a meeting or to a sales pitch, you failed. First of all, ask her if she wants to drive. If she doesn't, you drive. She'll sit in the back and you must only use the wing mirrors. Never, ever look in the rear view mirror in case you accidentally harass her. And rule number one, no matter how hungry you are, no matter what time of day it is, never, ever, ever eat a banana in the presence of a female colleague. It's time to play the music. New rules for male MPs at Westminster. Right. Obviously, I didn't obtain an exclusive copy of the rules. That was just a load of monumental bollocks. Shall we move on? It's crazy, isn't it? There's nothing else to say about this madness other than it's just madness. Right. No bananas in Westminster. Of course, most of the MPs in Westminster wouldn't be interested in eating the bananas, would they? Right, YouTube found no evidence of Russian interference in the 2016 Brexit referendum, a senior executive told a British parliamentary committee into fake news. This is an inquiry by the Digital Media Culture and Sport Committee. They were in the United States. They were at George Washington University today as part of its inquiry into fake news. Guess who's heading up the committee? Damian Collins. Now, Damian Collins is an arsehole. Why? Well, I've repeatedly emailed him politely to ask him would he be prepared to interview people like David Icke, for example. And even myself, why you, Richie? Well, I've worked at every level of the media and I have a lot to say about fake news. As would David, of course. Got no response, so he's an arsehole. He looked like a child today with a smacked arse when he asked YouTube representative Juniper Downs. Great name. Juniper Downs is YouTube's global head of public policy. And Damian Collins asked her whether the Russians had influenced the Brexit vote. Did they? Did they? Juniper, did they? The Russians. They must have skewed the Brexit vote. Did they?
You may be aware that the committee has written to Twitter and Facebook asking for its analysis of whether Russian-backed agencies were involved in interfering with elections in the UK, particularly the Brexit referendum and our recent general election. Facebook are conducting that research for us. I hope we'll get an update from Twitter later. I don't really know what they're doing about it. But would YouTube be prepared to conduct the same analysis that you've conducted in the United States for the UK, looking at potential Russian interference in and around the Brexit referendum and other elections?
Absolutely. We're happy to cooperate with the UK government's investigation into whether there was any interference in elections in the UK. We have conducted a thorough investigation around the Brexit referendum and found no evidence of interference. Again, we looked at all advertisements with any connection to Russia, and we found no evidence of our services being used to interfere in the Brexit referendum, and we're happy to cooperate with any further efforts.
Well, Damian Collins looked like he was choking on his own bile. In a nutshell, said the YouTube lady, no. The Russians weren't trying to influence the Brexit referendum. Now, of course, this is deliciously ironic. And it becomes deliciously ironic. Because Collins then asks Juniper Downs about YouTube taking down content. Have a listen.
So the technology that we've developed to identify content that may violate our policies is doing more and more of the heavy lifting for us. So in the area of violent extremism, we're now at 98% of the content we have removed for violent extremism has been identified by our algorithms. That number varies from policy to policy, depending on how effective and precise the technology is on particular issues. When it comes to misleading and deceptive content, our spam detection systems are quite effective at identifying the behavioral patterns associated with mass-produced misinformation that is being distributed through our services. In 2017, we removed over 130,000 videos for violating our misleading spam policy. Those were virtually all identified by our technology.
You're choking on the irony, right, dear listener? You are positively up. You're rolling around, coughing and spluttering on the irony. Listen to what she said again.
Our spam detection systems are quite effective at identifying the behavioral patterns associated with mass-produced misinformation that is being distributed through our services.
Well, they're not that good. She just said there's no evidence that the Russians hacked the Brexit referendum. Yet YouTube has dozens of reports uploaded by the BBC, ITV, Sky News and others who say that the Russians hacked the Brexit referendum. The fucking irony of it. Jesus Christ, and all the virtue signalers at Westminster, including Damian Collins, who've blamed Russia. The irony. We're taking down fake news, she said, just after she told Collins that the claims that Russia was interfering in elections was fake news. So why are YouTube not pulling down thousands of videos by spamming videos by the BBC, Sky News, CNN, C-SPAN, Fox and all the rest of them? Unbelievable. These people are the greatest purveyors of the finest fake news there has ever been. I could be here all day. Then Downs, Juniper Downs, YouTube Juniper Downs, spoke about basically how the independent media is being destroyed systematically. Have a listen.
I will say that when it comes to recommendations, we recognize that we have more work to do. Recommendations are largely a reflection of user interest. When it comes to news content, our goal is to promote more authoritative sources and to demote lower quality content from less established sources. So it's not only popularity that fuels the recommendation engine, it's also trying to draw from sources that are well-established, known sources of news, and put that near the top. Do we succeed every time? We don't.
Hey, there you have it, right there. From the horse's mouth. She's doing her best. Establishment channels to be promoted. The channels contradicting that which the establishment spews out are to be buried. Simple. We're seeing it all the time. Shows like this, established shows like this, with big audiences and big YouTube presences. We've got 75,000 subscribers on YouTube in a short space of time as well. We had 800,000, 900,000 views a month. They've limited our reach and our scope and our presence. It's now gone down to about 450,000. That's what they're doing. Now, Facebook's Monica Bickert was there as well. She was happy to say what Facebook is doing to bury so-called fake news, when what she really means, burying the independent media.
We're also testing a way of giving people information about related articles. So you're on Facebook and you see a news article about a particular topic. Underneath that, you will see a spectrum of related articles on that same topic so that you know if the article you're seeing fits with mainstream sources or it doesn't. We're looking at ways of incorporating brand logos into, if you find content in Facebook, if it's surfaced to you, you know exactly who it's coming from and whether or not you recognize that or trust that news source.
Yeah, the trusted sources will be the channels, the stations and the newspaper owned by the big six corporations. You know that six corporations own just over 90% of the world's media. This is true, by the way. You know, incredible what's happened in the last 15, 20 years. And what she has said there, Monica Bickert from Facebook, is that if your content isn't owned by the likes of Time Warner, by Disney, by General Electric, by News Corp, etc., etc., you'll be regarded as untrustworthy and you will be buried. Because the independent media and independent journalism in general must be destroyed and will be destroyed, at least on these platforms. And this is why we've spoken so much in recent months about it. And I've been very reticent to talk about it a lot, lest people think that we're always whistling for funding. I'm not always whistling for funding or anything like it. It's got nothing to do with that. The funding is one thing. They want to erase genuine, and there isn't very much genuine alternative media. I've said this time and time again, InfoWars is not alternative media, it's mainstream light. We have one or two organisations in the UK that profess to be alternative. They're not. They're mainstream light, urging their viewers to vote for Jeremy Corbyn last year back in the summer. Mainstream light organisations. There's an online paper called The Canary. It calls itself independent media. It's not. It's monumental bollocks. It's just leftist socialist crap supporting Jeremy Corbyn, propping up the two-party paradigm. There's nothing independent or alternative about that. Nothing. Very little. Genuinely, completely unattached to party politics or identity politics. There is very little of that in the world, let alone in the UK. That's why we're seeing our content being shadow banned while the truther industrial complex seemingly goes from strength to strength in terms of its reach, because the system loves that. Loves all that mad shit. You know, which ultimately has gone from telling you that all of politics is controlled by a hidden hand. Now they're not telling you that. Now they're telling you, oh, you gotta support Donald or Bernie Sanders or Jeremy Corbyn. Very little independent media. And this ain't virtue signalling. I'm not talking about myself. You'll be the judge of this programme, and so will others. But that's the way it is. And you heard it there from Juniper Downs and from the Facebook woman, as bold as brass. This is what we're going to do. We're going to eliminate, and we're going to tell you what the trusted sources are. Those are establishment sources. That is what you will be exposed to. We won't expose you to the so-called fake news. And this is why it's so important that you, when you do like a content creator, like Dean Henderson, for example, amazing guy who's going to be on the programme in about 10, 12 minutes' time. Don't wait to see Dean's stuff. Go to his website, which is hendersonlefthook.wordpress.com. Have his website in your mind. It was one of the great triumphs of David Icke and others. They saw it coming and never took their eye off the ball with their websites when Facebook became big. Others did, me included. Oh, Facebook is great, yeah. It's just like your own website, isn't it? No, it ain't. So that's what we've got to do as we move on. Now, we are going to talk about George Soros, of course. And we'll do that with Dean Henderson. Not to steal Dean's thunder, but just to give you the gist of the story today, in case you missed it. There is a campaign group called Best for Britain. Gina Miller is involved in it. Gina Miller, Jesus, give me a break. They want to overturn the decision to leave the European Union. The chairman of Best for Britain is a guy called Lord Malloch Brown. He's a former Labour minister. Anyway, the Daily Mail revealed today, and other newspapers, that they took £400,000 from the billionaire investor George Soros. That's the nice, clean name they have for Soros. The nice way of describing him. He's far more than that. I wrote about this today, by the way, on richieallen.co.uk. The group are going to use the money to launch advertising later this month to try and rally public opinion and convince MPs to vote against the final Brexit deal, whatever it is. Yeah. And Dean Henderson and I, mostly Dean, will be talking about who George Soros really is and why he's really interested in all of this. But earlier today, Nigel Farage, the former leader of UKIP, was on the ITV breakfast programme Good Morning Britain. He was interviewed by a woman called Susanna Reid, and it was about Soros and about second referendums. This is Farage and Susanna Reid.
Open Society is his organisation. It is the biggest political campaigning group in Financial Times the world has ever seen. It's already raised $15 billion. Another $18 billion had been pledged. So whether George Soros managed to get other donors to support him on that night, frankly, is irrelevant.
Well, it's quite relevant when it comes to this anti-Brexit campaign.
It's completely irrelevant because he can sign as big a cheque as he wants. This man interferes in elections and referendums all over the Western world.
Okay, but he has a right to campaign on what he wants to, and there's no rules been broken here.
No, I think, you know, we talk about Russian collusion. Did the Russians interfere in the American election? Did they interfere in Brexit?
This is not anything on that scale.
This is the biggest political campaigner in the history of the world. And what happened to...
Did you hear Susanna Reid? The media... You can't use the word whore in the same sentence as you mention a woman's name. So I'm not going to do that. Media lackey, lickspittle, bootblack, subservient, waste of space, masquerading as a journalist. This is nothing like Russia. Well, Russia hasn't interfered in any elections. And Soros has overthrown governments. He's brought down banks. As Dean Henderson will say in a minute, fucking cheek of Susanna Reid to say it's nothing like Russia, eh?
What happened today is a few people have started to wake up to it. Now, it's not against the rules.
Part of the reason apparently for this is to secure a second referendum on whether we leave or whether we stay in. Now, we have an argument, don't we, when you come in about whether there should be a second referendum. And the point is that we don't yet know the deal that Theresa May is going to secure with Brussels. And what happens, you know, even you're so critical of the Prime Minister. What happens if she comes up with a deal that you, as someone who is such a vocal and successful campaigner in the Brexit referendum, thinks that's a rubbish deal? And we're going to end up worse.
The referendum.
Wouldn't you like to have a chance to vote on it?
The referendum wasn't about an economic deal. It wasn't about projecting whether in 15 years' time we'll be richer or poorer, because frankly no one knows. The referendum was about leaving political union and being an independent, self-governing
so
nation.
So you don't care if the deal is a really bad deal?
I'm very pessimistic about the deal she's going to get, because it's pretty clear the EU won't give us...
You would rather have a bad deal than consider staying
in. I want to be
in.
An independent country. And once you are an independent country, you can change anything you want in the future. That is what the referendum was about.
Yeah, you see what Susanna Reid did there, and it isn't because she's bright. Susanna Reid is as thick as horse shit. There was a producer screaming in her ear to steer the conversation away from Soros, because the minute Reid said to Farage, Soros's interference pales by comparison to that of Russia, before Farage could go down that road, the producers were frantically screaming at Reid to move the conversation along to second referendum. Let's not get talking about who George Soros really is. Not on breakfast television in the United Kingdom. That's how it works, you see. I worked at every level of it. I know. I used to be the guy in the production booth telling my presenter what to say and what to do. And I've had producers screaming in my ear telling me what. I just used to turn them down so I couldn't hear them. We just turn it down and carry on. But that's what happened there. This is the media in action. Oh, Jesus, let's not start talking about what George Soros has been doing around the world in the name of democracy. It's exactly 11:30. Going to take a break. When we come back, some comments, some music, and then we'll be speaking with Dean Henderson. You don't want to miss Dean on Thursday's Richie Allen Show, the 8th of February 2018. Thanks for joining me. Keep those comments coming in to @RichieAllenShow on Twitter.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv. The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today.
Welcome back to the program. 27 minutes to the top of the hour. Thursday show. Always, always great to be reading your tweets. It really is. Hi to Dion Larmour. How you doing, Dion? Found my countdown amusing earlier on. I think you're the only person who found it amusing, Dion. Apart from myself, that is. Hi to Cartoon Drunk, to Ricky Emmett, to Charlotte, who says, Susanna Reid doing her best Kathy Newman impression. Yeah, they're all very hard, Charlotte, all of them, men and women in the media. When there's a producer shouting at them, telling them what to say, they get very brave. David Stanford tweets, the journalist in question is about as politically savvy as a box of dead frogs. Channeling your inner Richard Littlejohn there, David. Remember many years ago, Richard Littlejohn interviewed David Icke and was very rude. And after David had had enough of him, he walked away at the end of the interview. And brilliantly said to Littlejohn, if you had a brain cell, it would die of loneliness. And I think Little John came back with the Box of Frogs line. It sounded very weak at the time. Yeah, that's how it works. Reed, I'm not saying Reed is stupid. I did say Reed was stupid. I shouldn't have said that. That's unfair. I don't know anything about Reed or her intellect, but she knows nothing about what's going on in the world. We'll be given a fact sheet when she's interviewing somebody, and we'll have a producer telling her what to say. That's how it works. Right, going to take a tune. When we come back from that, we will be joined by none other than the terrific broadcaster and author Dean Henderson. Check Dean out at hendersonlefthook.wordpress.com. That's hendersonlefthook.wordpress.com. That's where you find Dean. Also, richieallen.co.uk, there's an interesting article on there about George Soros. We'll be talking about George after the Stone Roses. Roses, Waterfall on the Richie Allen Show. 21 minutes to the top of the hour. It's great to be joined by our next guest. He's a terrific guy and has graced us with his presence many times since this programme began back in 2014. He's brilliant. You know him, of course, over the years, writing brilliant articles for InfoWars, Global Research, DavidIcke.com, of course, as well. A regular guest and commentator on Press TV, RT, and many other international news channels. He's, I think, justifiably best known for his brilliant books, Big Oil and Their Bankers in the Persian Gulf, of course, the Four Horsemen book, as I call it, The Grateful Unrich, Sticking It to the Matrix, The Federal Reserve Cartel, and others. You can read him, and this is very important, in line, or not in line, but in it, being mindful of the attacks on the independent media by Facebook, by YouTube and others. You've got to get used to what we did many years ago, and that is keeping people's websites in your mind. HendersonLeftHook.wordpress.com. HendersonLeftHook.wordpress.com. Originally from South Dakota, but these days in Missouri. Let's welcome back our friend Dean Henderson to the program. Dean, welcome back.
Hey, Richie, thanks for having me. Good talking again. It's been a while.
It has been a while, and thanks for answering the call at short notice today, Dean. The country, well, not the country, but the media is in a bit of a lather because it's been announced that George Soros is funding anti-Brexit parties, as if that's news to the likes of you, of course, but to the British public, his name, probably a lot of people in the country reading about him in the papers today won't have heard of the man. He was spoken about because he's given £400,000, chump change for Soros, of course, to a group called Best for Britain, which is going to do its level best to reverse the referendum result. And I thought of you immediately when I said, let's do a programme and talk not just specifically about Soros, but talk about the sort of open democracy things he's been involved in, what think tanks are, what think tanks do, and how they influence policy and events around the world. And I'm not buttering you up, my friend. You're about the best guy there is to speak to about this, so that's why I invited you back on. He's, do you think that Soros is, as much as the independent media tends to understand who and what he is, but folks at large, Dean, even in the US maybe, wouldn't have a clue who he is. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair because, I mean, people might hear his name once in a while, but I don't think they really understand much about him other than he's got a lot of money. But he's a classic. Great article, by the way, that you wrote today about that, Richie. That was really informative.
Thanks, Dean.
Yeah, and thanks for having me. I think, you know, he's a classic kind of Hofjuden, you know, they call him. And these are the kind of elite Jewish Sephardic Jews that married into the House of Windsor, that married into the crowns of Europe, that became their bankers and facilitated their hegemony and then elevated themselves into that position as well. Of course, led by the Rothschilds, and of course, Soros is their chief lieutenant of the Rothschilds. I would say they've given chunks of the, you know, the world to different families, like in Canada, it's the Bronfman family. They're also Hofjuden of the Rothschilds. I would put them in the same category as Soros. The Rockefellers here, of course, kind of serve that purpose for the Rothschilds in America. You know, there's just, they sent people everywhere. They sent the Warburgs had a connection, and they were kind of given lordship over Eastern Europe, you know. And Soros is just kind of this guy that he almost, as your article, I thought, conveyed very well. He almost has his own foreign policy, as you quoted Mort Abramowitz as saying, and it's true. And when he, you know, when George Soros, you know, farts, you know, something happens internationally, some grand geopolitical act, like a war or a coup or a financial crash or, so it is literally, he is literally that powerful. And, it is jump change to him, but it also indicates that they actually, you know, are behind this thing. And, it's a good scoop, and it's a good time to talk about Soros. He did crash the bot in Thailand. He destroyed Thailand's economy. He destroyed Malaysia, tried to destroy Malaysia's economy. Actually, Mahathir Mohamad did the right thing in fixing the Malaysian ringgit, or currencies are allowed to float, as they say, on the international market. Well, he fixed it to a basket of commodities, I believe, and was able to keep the ringgit's value. And that's a valuable lesson going forward for other countries where they try to do this kind of stuff, including, where you're living and where I'm living, is to fix that currency. If we're ever going to end the Fed and nationalize it, which is what we need to do, the first thing we'd do is we'd secretly fix our currency before these traders even got wind of it, see? And that's what Mohamad did. So he was a brilliant, he was one of the great leaders of our era, I believe, Mahathir Mohamad in Malaysia. But and also the interesting about the 92 crisis in Britain, I guess I wasn't aware of his involvement with that. And then what do we know about his involvement with the Russian ruble crash in 97, 98? I don't know. But I know Goldman Sachs was in there, and I know Harvard Business School was in there, and some of his ilk and affiliates were in there. And it wouldn't surprise me, of course, if there was funding from him or one of his foundations involved there. And that's what the Rothschilds do. They launder their money through foundations to steer social policy. And Soros, that's another thing he does, not only does he have a foreign policy, but domestically he funds movements in the United States. And they tend to be weak movements, kind of center-left movements that push out the more radical left element. And those get funding, and people like me, of course, never going to get a grant.
No.
And people like you, never going to get a grant, right?
Never.
Richie?
Never.
We don't want the grants anyway, because we know it's dirty money, so what? So we don't care. But, you know how it is. And so he has that role too, almost domestic policy czar, sort of like shaping public opinion. So he's very powerful and needs to be exposed just at every turn. And Quantum NV, as you indicate, Quantum NV is the main vehicle. And he manages that for the Queen of England, for the Rothschild family, and some very, very wealthy clients. And he manages that. So there, behind Soros, you just have to remember there's another layer, and that's the Rothschilds. And that's the elite international banking families and the crowns of Europe. And also, I might add, the crowns of Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, UAE, sure, they've been cut in as well. Although they're slightly junior partners still. But they still have, trillions in assets. So it's a lot of money to slosh around the globe.
Massive amount of money. What I wrote today was inspired, obviously, by the work of people like you and people like David. Because without you guys, I wouldn't have known much about George Soros. See, this is the beauty of the independent media. All I do is interview people like you, and this is not virtue signaling or me fishing for compliments. I'm trying to get this through to my audience. Presenters are nobodies. They should be seen and not heard too much. The whole point of the independent media is that as a journalist, as a presenter, you find guys like Dean Henderson, and you read Dean's books, and you learn about guys like Soros, and you never had any idea that guys like Soros existed. It's hugely important. We will come to this idea that people have that Soros is somehow anti-Jewish or anti-Zionist. Now, this isn't true, but it's believed widely that he is. And he had, a pretty nasty start to his crime, to his criminal life. It's known that as a young man in Hungary, he actually helped pilfer and rob his own people under Nazi control while pretending to be non-Jewish. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that. And as far as we know, Dean, and I know David Icke did a lot of research into this, that's true. This is the sort of scumbag this guy is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you nailed it. And that's important to point out. And he is, not only is he not anti-Zionist, he's one of the leading forces of Zionism in the world. Because Zionism, we have to remember, is not Israel. It's not Jewish. It comes from the city of London. Theodore Herzl, it comes from the bankers. It's what they wanted to do to set up an oil monopoly in the Middle East. So they had to come up with Zionism. And it really, that followed the other, because it's always about money for these people. They don't have an ideology. They're Satanists, mostly. They're Satanists. They're not Jewish. They're not Christian. They're not Buddhist. They're not Muslim. They don't even believe in greater good in the world, or that you're supposed to do good. They believe that they're here to dominate nature, dominate other people, always fighting, always contradicting, always picking arguments. That's the devil's work, and they do it well. And that's the way I see it, you know. And so it's all a mask. The Zionist mask gets taken off when you see that, yeah, Soros, this Jewish Hungarian, was actually helping the Nazis to kill Jewish people. And these are the people that were exported to Israel, the Zionists, the people with money, because a guy named Rothstein was actually, or Rosenstein, I think it was actually Hitler's immigration chief. And he was Jewish too, but he was the one that took the $1,000 per Jew that had it. And that was a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
And ran them down to Israel and formed the Stern Gang and the Haganah and these terrorist organizations that butchered Palestinians in the late 40s. And Menachem Begin and a lot of later Israeli prime ministers were parts of the Stern Gang or parts of the Haganah. So they're Nazis. I mean, it's such an, people can't get their heads around it, but Israel is ruled by the Nazis, basically, by the white supremacists, which is their underlying ideology. That's why it's an apartheid state. It's because the Palestinians are not white. Don't you see, really? I mean, when it really comes down to it, that's what these, and that comes from the eugenics movement that created Hitler. Where'd that come from? City of London. Where'd that come from? Rothschilds. Where'd that come from? Obsession with bloodlines. Our blood's better than your blood. I mean, that's the essence of Nazism, fascism, is our blood is better than your blood. Therefore, we have the right to rule over you. And that's the divine right of kings, my friend.
You see, and then, again, not to mention David and yourself again, I haven't mentioned David for a while, but You guys tell people that Jews, and you said it yourself, are as much victims of this as anybody else is. And yet those who want to shut people like you guys down will still accuse you time and again of being anti-Semitic or racist. No matter how many times you say, this is not a Jewish thing. It's, you know, your average Jew is no different than your average Christian, your average Muslim, your average Buddhist. This is something way beyond that. And people don't understand it, so they don't.
No, they don't. And it's the reason we're attacked is because it's the truth. And it's such a big lie that they've sown, you know, that they have to keep that lie together to keep dissent at bay, to keep people from criticizing Israel. And then from not only that, but maybe following it even further to the City of London. I've noticed one thing. When you know, you can criticize the CIA and you might get your phone tapped. You can criticize the Mossad. And, you know, you might get some weird stuff on social media or whatever. But if you criticize British intelligence, they'll try to kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really nail it, sometimes when you really nail it, when you really say, like, they killed Kennedy or they killed, they killed Nemtsov because they want to divide Russia from the U.S., you know, bam, that hurts. They don't like that. And that's where we got to keep this focused, you know, is the City of London and the Rothschilds and the bankers. And Soros being, you know, the Rothschilds' key lieutenant, he's very powerful.
Dean, let's stay. Sorry to interrupt you. Let's stay with that. Brilliantly, you're brilliantly bringing it back. So you got to love Wikipedia. It tells so many lies. There are more lies on Wikipedia than there are in a stack of Bibles. It's unbelievable. So Wikipedia says, wait for this, Dean. He survived Nazi Germany and emigrated to England. Now, another way of saying that is he left Hungary with an armful of money, jewellery, artwork belonging to his fellow Jews, whose corpses he basically pissed on, right? And then he went to England and he joined the London School of Economics. Do you want to talk about that and what the London School of Economics really is?
Yeah, good one. Oh, man. Yeah, that's what they got to do. They got to throw this cloak of victimhood over the perpetrator. And that's what they're masters of it, see. So he perpetrates this crime and then he's a victim that emigrated and went to the London School. But yeah, London School of Economics, I mean, that's a very powerful organization. It's also controlled by Rothschild money, by the Business Roundtable crowd that got this all together in the early 1900s and created the Fed and all these central banks and sent people everywhere to run Cecil Rhodes to South Africa, Zimbabwe, again, the Warburgs, Kuhn Loebs to New York, sent their couriers everywhere to control the planet at that point. And the London School of Economics rose right out of that. So it's very close to the Royal Institute of International Affairs, very close to the Economist magazine, which is also Rothschild owned, very close to the International Herald Tribune. Financial Times. Yeah, that's the one, Financial Times. That's a total Rothschild tool. And so that's always the same line. And you can find out a lot reading those papers. That's a lot of my book, you know, people think, oh, whatever. But you know, a lot of it came from the business pages of the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times. I mean, because that's where they actually brag about, you know, taking over companies and laying off workers. It's a good thing. And their share price goes up if they do. And but how about this stock market crash? I kind of called it, man. Wrote a column Tuesday, and stock market begins nosedive. Last Tuesday I wrote it. And it had started that day, but it's been pretty bloody ever since. So what do you make of this?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, they're saying today that there's been a recovery, but 666 points on one particular day wiped off the Dow. That's an interesting number, that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was one day it was 1175.
1175, yeah.
Yeah, it was a record. And today, last I checked, it was down another 450, but I don't know where it's at now. But, I mean, it's they're nervous. I think they're nervous about Trump's protectionist kind of talk here lately with NAFTA, taking apart NAFTA. He's been putting tariffs on, like, South Korean washing machines to protect, like, Maytag, you know. And yeah. I don't have a problem with that. It's a good policy. But see, that, you know, it's that little streak of populism in Trump, and that's really freaking out these guys. And then I think the debt ceiling limit talks as well. Not so much the budget thing that's going on now, but what follows it, which is raising the debt ceiling. And there's some of these real right-wing populist Republicans who just may not vote to raise it. And then the Democrats may not be in the mood to raise it either, just because they want to oppose Trump. So that could be the real train wreck. But I do think we're on the edge of kind of a financial crash. So Soros can spend his money all he wants, but, you know, if this continues, I mean, I think it's going to breed some more populism. There's going to be a lot of people without 401ks.
Chaos, then. Soon again. It's interesting. Like, it's interesting. Jeff Berwick was on the program the other night, and Jeff agrees with you entirely. And Jeff reckons the next manipulated crash will be, you know, kind of like 2008 on steroids. The next one will be absolutely cataclysmic. Do you go along with that, Dean? The next one will be Armageddon, basically, for people.
Yeah, I think so. Because I think the bubble didn't get pricked enough in 08, especially the real estate bubble. And it's just the real estate bubble is also going to get wasted. And so is the bond bubble. That's going to be the worst one because interest rates are going to go to the moon. And see, the Fed's got to drain its balance sheet. It did QE1, 2, and 3, bought all these bonds, put the United States, you know, hundreds of billions more in debt. You know, thanks a lot for that. And now they're going to try to get their balance sheet cleaned up and put these bonds out on the market. So who's going to buy them? Nobody. So then the price has to go up before people do buy them. That's what's going on in the bond market. And that's the other thing, along with Trump's protectionism, that's freaking out the stock market, is the interest rates are creeping up. And this will hurt these guys that got addicted to free money, you know, and that's, you know, they just got, it's just like a heroin junkie. I mean, it's just Fed's printing money. It's here's some free money and, you know, 0% and go buy some Brazilian bonds at 9%, you know, or whatever they do with it. And yeah, that's freaking them out. So, you know, the combination of those two things, I agree with Jeff. I think it's going to be a cataclysmic crash this time.
You know what's interesting today, Dean? You talk about interest rises. The governor of the Bank of England gave an address today, obviously, where he was, you know, talking about inflation. And he hinted that there could be a rise in interest rates pretty soon. And again, you talk about the whoring media. The BBC ran stories today saying that a rise in interest rates will be good for some people, and it won't be great for others. That's the understatement of 2018, because more than 8.5 million households in the UK have a mortgage right now, and nearly two-thirds of those are on a standard variable rate or a tracker rate. You're a proper Southern gentleman, Dean. You don't use bad language, but I'm going to use bad language. If interest rates go up by 2 or 3 points, people are fucked here. They are fucked. Yeah. That is it, man. Yeah. They are. Yeah, man. Life is over for them. You know, the BBC, oh, it'll be good for some people. Don't worry about it. No, it's Armageddon for people.
Same. And that's exactly what will lead to the real estate crash, Richie, is the fact that, when the interest rates go up, these adjustables go up. We're called adjustable rate mortgages here. A lot of people have them. And then they'll just walk away from their houses again. But this time, there'll be many more people walking away. And this time the rents here have just astronomically increased because of the 08 situation where a lot of people walked. Everybody's renting now, and all these young millennials, they can't afford to buy. They don't even have a down payment to buy these really expensive houses in the, because it's such a huge bubble here. The real estate's just way too high, everything. And then, you know, so it almost has to happen. It will be for the better of the people in the end, you know, because they're going to, you know, you're going to be able to go out and buy a place. But boy, people better get ready. And try to get out of debt right now as much as you can, if you can pay that thing down, because it's coming. And it's going to be tough times, but all you can hope is that out of it, you know, maybe we can get some more awareness, some more people, you know, angry at these bankers enough that we're going to actually do something about it this time.
And not just continue to take it. Our guest is Dean Henderson. Dean is a broadcaster, journalist and author. His website is, and please go to his website, folks, make it a bookmarked site. It's brilliant. It's up there with Paul Craig Roberts and the Dollar Vigilante. It's as good or better than anything I read. It's great. Henderson, lefthook.wordpress.com. It really is. And the books are terrific, particularly as we're speaking about these issues tonight. The Fed, the Federal Reserve Cartel and Big Islander Bankers in the Persian Gulf. These are the definitive books. They are the seminal books on these subjects that have ever been written. They really are. So Dean, Soros goes to the London School of Economics, and then it's hilarious. He comes out and he has a few jobs at banks here and there in the UK and in America. And then we get Double Eagle in 1969, which is a hedge fund. And he makes a lot of money with that and launches the Soros Fund Management. And then he changes Double Eagle's name in 1970 to the Quantum Fund. And things start happening for the guy. Major things start happening. He's obviously at this stage, even in the early 70s, he's got massive doses of inside information. And the Hand of Rothschild has already identified this guy as a future capo regime or henchman, somebody to be, you know, an enforcer, if you will, of the policies of the Rothschild family. So in the early 70s to mid 70s, this guy, he almost has the sort of look that Biff has in Back to the Future 2 when he steals the sports almanac. And he has all the knowledge of all the horse racing results for the next 25 years. You just wonder, don't you? He has all this inside information, and from there on in, that leads up then to Black Wednesday in 92, where he makes a cool £1 billion on the back of the misery of tens of thousands of people in this country.
Mm-hmm.
That's Soros, yeah. Basically.
Good summation there again, Richie. And that Quantum NV fund, the capital, actually it's Quantum Fund NV. And as I understand it, it's based in Curacao, you know, which is interesting. That's just off of Venezuela.
Yeah.
Where there's rocky times. And there's also these two huge, it's actually the biggest oil refineries in the world are both there on the island of Curacao, weirdly. One of them's owned by Royal Dutch Shell and the Rothschilds oil company, and the other one is owned by ExxonMobil, which is the Rockefeller's company. But they get money from this thing called Club of the Isles. And as I understand it, you know, this is all pretty much one of the biggest Rothschild, you know, fronts. And Jacob Lord Rothschild, I think, who runs Rothschild Italia Bank in Milan, is, you know, supposed to be kind of the head honcho of that thing. But Quantum, when I wrote my book, and this has been, geez, you know, this is, I mean, getting dated now, actually 13 years ago, they handled like 14 billion in assets already. And, you know, Curacao is dirty. It was cited by the OECD task force on money laundering as a major drug money laundry. And so I'm sure that this money is, a lot of it's just involved with the drug trade, the arms trade, the oil trade, which is, you know, what my big oil book's about.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's led by the Rothschilds, and then Queen Elizabeth II is a member of that Club of Isles, and just all the black nobility people. Mark Rich was a member, you know, the guy that started the Russian Alpha Group, and the Clinton pardoned, Bill Clinton pardoned him, you know, but he was instrumental in the Russian collapse. And it's a very powerful entity. I mean, if this Caribbean money scene, I mean, if that could get cleaned up, Richie, I mean, if we could just bring all that home to where it belongs and tax it, oh my gosh, we could have free rent, free food, free energy, free everything for like 100 years or something. I mean, it's in the 100 trillions of dollars. And this is where these people operate. Yeah, but we got to clean up this offshore banking thing. It just shouldn't be allowed.
That's also
interestingly, again, it's part of the City of London. I mean, that's there you go again. And it's opaque. There's no you can't see what's going on. And that's where they do all this. And that's why they need secret societies to cover this stuff up, you know.
You mentioned the Caribbean. That's where presumably a lot of the child raping goes on, is down there, right?
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. It's the same bunch and doing all this stuff. And this, it's also the same bunch, you know, sending the arms to ISIS that they get across the Turkish border. And, you know, they're just evil and they're working for the devil. That's why I say they're Satanists. And their agenda is to cull us, to depopulate us, because this is their bloodline right, and they're smarter than we are, they think, even though they're inbred to the point where I think their IQs are some of the lowest on the planet. Their decision-making is even irrational many times, if you watch it. But they claim that they're smarter than us. That's why they claim they're the Illuminati. That's their word. That's not our word. I mean, you don't tell me a conspiracy guy because I use the word Illuminati. I mean, they call them, that's what they consider themselves. They're the Illuminati. That's their word. It's very self-flattering and, oh, they're so smart and they have the, you know, they can do this. So to them, to run drugs or, yeah, just, I guess, rape some kids and then throw them in a ditch as long as they're poor black kids, they don't even, you know, it's just, it's evil. They have no, they got nothing. And they probably are alien hybrids. I mean, I hope so, really, because I just hope humanity couldn't stoop to this level. I mean, I hope you'd have to be an alien hybrid to do some of the sick things that these people are doing.
You know, today, a listener got in touch with me. She heard something on the program, something that was spoken about months and months and months ago, but she must have picked it up off YouTube anyway. And it was about her house. And she was concerned that her house, which her mortgage is nearly paid off here in the UK, and she was concerned that she doesn't own her house. And I told her, well, you might own the bricks and the mortar, but what you have effectively through the land registry and the crown is you just have basically a freehold on, you don't own the land. Everything is owned by the crown. People often say the queen, which is technically right, but technically wrong, the crown. And I had a chat with her and I was explaining to her how it goes, and she was just absolutely gobsmacked. And I said, yeah, there's no such thing as freedom or democracy. The crown pretty much owns every square inch of land in the country, whether you think you own a property or not. And she was flabbergasted. And again, I wouldn't know about this stuff again if it wasn't through the likes of the men and women yourself to come on this programme. And, you know, the relationship between the Queen, her family, her ancestry, and Soros, you mentioned the bloodlines. People don't, it's new to people. It's mind-blowing to people. And they don't, you know, they can't make sense of it. But that's true. And, you know, I'll get bombarded now with tweets later on and messages. Oh, you're wrong, Richie, you're wrong. I own my house and I own my land. No, you don't. Because when you want to do something to it, you've got to get planning permission from the land registry.
That's right. And then they call it freehold. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Freehold, which is just the opposite. It's that newspeak, that Orwellian, just the opposite newspeak thing. Where you're not free at all and you don't hold anything. Like say maybe you hold the bricks and if it falls down, you got to fix it, but that's about it. And it's true, they stole our land. You know, a lot of the story of history, recent history, sort of since, at least the inception of America and stuff, 1700s maybe, is that they stole our land. And, like you say, there's all these British maritime law rules over land already, and there's some of that here too. But literally, like in this country, 2% of the people used to live in cities, I think 300 years ago. And now it's just flipped just the opposite, and actually less. I think 1% now live on land in the country. And if I always tell people, if you just want a real shortcut to how they pulled this all off, they stole our land. And before that, they stole the Indians' land. They stole the Aborigines' land. They stole the Batak land and the Maori land, and, you know. So they've been, it goes stealing land is what they do. And yeah, now then the queen makes up some, you know, queen's language contract that these native people, they're not going to understand it because it's horse shit, frankly, and fools them. And they think they own it and they don't. And it's just evil, but they own most of the world, Richie. It's not even just Britain. I mean, through the Commonwealth and through their corporations and their banks and and the central banks, of course, that every country has that they own, that actually hold mortgages on most of the houses in those countries and the land and those countries and the farms in those countries. And if they call that all in, or if they just, yeah, take rates to 20%, guess what? It's theirs again. And they'll be the ones to repossess all this land that people walk away from, all these houses that people walk away from. They'll own it again. And then they'll try to sell it again to some other sucker. But this is this whole story. And this is why we have to get rid of the Fed. We have to get rid of private central banks. We have to have free credit issuance from a public central bank. We have to have that a possibility for people. And, get rid of all the debt, because debt is the big lever. Debt, you know, on a personal level, debt is how they keep all of us, in a state of fear and worry. I mean, not all of us. There's some people that don't have to worry, but there's very few.
Very few.
And that's how they do it. So it's the debt, baby. And it all comes back to your personal life. And then it goes up on to the Rothschild banking monopoly that owns every central bank in this world, except what, Iran, Syria, Cuba, Sudan, and North Korea, I think.
Dean Henderson is our guest. Dean, I'm going to take a very quick break. When we come back from that, we'll have about 10, 12 minutes left. We'll talk a little bit about, because people are finding it hard, I think, to fathom the depths of this, that Soros is in a position to dictate to the German government that they allow a million migrants into the country, which he did, that Soros has that level of influence. But he does, and he is the, it was a pretty crass analogy that I made today with Clemenza in The Godfather, but that's kind of who he is, and he is the Rothschild's main man. And there is an edict from the Rothschilds, and Soros takes that to the world and makes it happen. We'll talk about that in a second. The great Dean Henderson is on the line in Missouri. It's hendersonlefthook.wordpress.com. Stay there, Dean, 2.5 minutes if you want to grab a glass of water or a quick cup of coffee. We'll talk more about Soros when we come back. HendersonLeftHook.wordpress.com. Great to have Dean back on the programme. Back shortly.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markmajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues, or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
Welcome back. Dean Henderson, our guest in Missouri. It's hendersonlefthook.wordpress.com. Great to have Dean on again. It really is. We've got about 12 minutes left on this. And Dean, what we're seeing at the moment, the attempts to reverse Brexit, the lies about chemical weapons being used by Assad in Syria, Russiagate, which is just a pile of lies as well, the European Union army, more political union in Europe, this is being given to, the blueprint for this is being given by Soros to the so-called leaders of Europe, right? I mean, it's out in the open.
Seems like it, you know. That's always the way it is. I mean, these presidents, prime ministers, they're just puppets. in most places. You know, you do have some countries where that's not true. Those are the so-called rogue nations that we hate, or we're supposed to hate anyway. But interestingly, like you say, the whole thing in with Assad and the chemical weapons, it's like every time the U.S. gets its, and the Brits and the Israelis and the Saudis get their butts kicked in Syria by the Russians and the Syrians and Hezbollah and the Iranians, every time, and it's been many defeats now for them, they pull out the old chemical weapons card, you know. And probably what it is like it was last time, where the rebels put these chemical weapons in places where the Army has, you know, Air Force has no idea, and they want them to hit them so that they can use it as propaganda. But it's an indication of what's going on in the Middle East, at least. You know, Soros may be calling the shots in Europe, and he may be trying to call the shots in the Middle East through the neocons here, but it's not working. Iraq, Lebanon, Iran, Syria, Turkey, Qatar now even, kind of on the same page on things. Standing against U.S. policy, all those countries unified, amazing. Hasn't happened in years, decades even. And that worries them. And, you know, and that's why, of course, the immigrants are flooding into Europe. And so I guess Soros is like managing this, you know, war outflow for the Rothschild war machine. He's like the outflow immigration manager for the, you know, to settle these people in Europe kind of quietly. And that's, you know, why is nobody asking that question, or why is nobody talking about that? Like, well, the refugees, where are they coming from? Guess what? They're coming from the countries that we're attacking.
Yeah.
I mean, why does nobody not, why is, nobody seems to want to talk about that, but that's where they're all coming from. You know, Libya is a big one, of course. Syria is a big one. Afghanistan. I mean, I know, let's just quit bombing the shit out of these countries. Maybe people would stay home, you know? So it's almost like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what, you know, Soros, he's definitely calling the shots on that immigration thing. He's funding Black Lives Matter here, which is, you know, again, watering down in sort of a divisive way what really should be talked about in these things. And
chaos again, everywhere.
Social engineering, you know, and steering policy, steering movements even.
He's kind of ushering in. I mean, identity politics was always there. But what these guys are doing is encouraging it to the point where man is being set against his brother over these ridiculous arguments while chaos reigns. The migrant crisis is about chaos, divide and conquer. Funding Black Lives Matter and funding all of these projects that you so eloquently talked about earlier on and that you write about on your website is all designed to create rage, hatred, tension, violence while they go along their merry way and kill most of us, right?
That's right. And they literally feed off of that energy, that negative anger, violent energy that they create on what they call social media, which is nothing more than a psyop from, you know, British Intel, Mossad, CIA. And it's to divide people. The whole thing, it's so, let's call it social media, and everybody will get together and sing Kumbaya. But actually, they just get on there and argue and fight and pick their camp and identity politics. Yeah. And so they're pushing this whole agenda of identity politics, partly because then they can get a reaction from people that have sense. And then there'll be this huge division. And I mean, look, you got a gender war, you got a race war, you got a religious war. You know, we're supposed to hate Muslims. We're supposed to hate the immigrants, even though they're being used just like we are.
Yeah.
And it's just divide, divide, divide. And at every turn, there's just this attempt right now to really sow this division. But I think, you know, the good news is there's a reason for that. And it's because we're becoming more aware and we're getting closer and closer to sort of putting some handcuffs on some of these bloodline elites, so-called. And I think they know that. So they're in a corner. They're losing wars in the Middle East. They're losing countries all over the place. Zimbabwe held its revolution. Kenya held its election despite the interference attempt by the Rothschild bankers. More, you know, Venezuela's hanging in there, Ecuador. I mean, you know, more and more people are working, and the Iranians are working together with all these people, the Russians, the Chinese working together. Never been closer, those two countries, for a long, long time, since at least 73. So there's a lot of writing on the wall that, you know, Soros and his little handlers there might be kind of on the ropes. And this is why they're increasingly coming up with stuff to try to divide us over, stupid stuff. And what I would just say is just turn off your Facebook, your social media, all that stuff as much as possible. You know, use it to get articles out, interviews, what I do, but But don't sit there and chat and try to argue with people. Or if they respond and just are rude, just let it go and go outside and chop some wood, dude. Because they're literally turning us into like these negative batteries of dark energy that they're running their Satanist scheme off of. I mean, it could easily be looked at in this way.
How, just before we run out of time, thanks for saying that. I can't argue with any of that. I do like to argue with even the people I like. I like to throw a few spanners in the works, a few wrenches. I got to use wrench. It's a wrench in America. It's a spanner here. I know you know what it is, yeah. How the hell has Maduro managed to hang on? I mean, that's miraculous. I'd given him up a year ago. I thought he was finished.
It's hard. But, you know, he's, I think, even more radical than Chavez, which is amazing. Probably not as charismatic, and, you know, Chavez was a pretty darn likable guy, but so is Maduro. But I mean, it's to the point where the Bolivarian socialist revolution, which is what they call it, has taken hold. And once you go out and teach people to read, which they did through this massive literacy campaign, because like 90% of Venezuelans couldn't read before Chavez. And once you give people free health care, and once you give people like a ration at least of tortillas every week and a little bit of, you know, cheese and some meat, and I mean, they're getting a lot of free stuff. And so that just, people can be stable then, and people can see the benefits of sharing economy. And of course, the trouble comes in when all the owners of the grocery stores and the owners of the trucking companies and the owners of the airlines and the owners of the owners, you know, it's all the rich Venezuelans who hate these people and who hate the revolution, who are being taxed a lot more, who are actually having to contribute to the economy now instead of just leeching off it, which is what rich people usually do to economies. So they hate him. So they're creating grocery shortages. They're creating medicine shortages. They're creating, sure, because they can, because they control all the infrastructure. So increasingly, I look to Maduro to increasingly begin to nationalize a lot of this infrastructure. He's going to have to. He's going to have to go all the way Cuban style and just kick the bastards out. If they want to live in Miami, that's fine. You know, otherwise, swim, bitch.
Absolutely right, Dean. Brilliantly said. Just before we end today, a friend of mine, Phil Restino, is listening to this in Florida. And he's very, very interested in what you've been saying, Phil. And he asks me a very good question. He says, has Dean made a video? Is there anything online where we see Dean talking about these things? That's a good question. Is there a link, Dean, that you can maybe send to me a bit later on and I can put out there?
Well, you know what? I don't have like a YouTube channel, but I'm on YouTube. If you just, the easy way is just Google me. I mean, Google YouTube and then type in my name and a lot of stuff does come up. I don't put it up there. I don't know who does. Different people, I think. But there's a lot of it on there. Yeah. So that's the way to go there. Just YouTube.
Brilliant.
YouTube. Man.
Well, thanks for that. And hendersonlefthook.wordpress.com. And folks, again, yes, I have to keep saying this. You got to support independent journalists. So only if you have a few bucks. If you don't have a few bucks, do not worry your head about it. But if you have a few bucks, buy one of Dean's books, make a little contribution, because without that, we're not going to have journalists like this coming on programs like this. Dean, thanks for your time today. Short notice, mate. You know, I love having you on. I really do. And
man, thanks so much, Richie. I always enjoy it. You're my favorite talk show dude, man, for sure. So have a great upcoming, and I look forward to the next talk.
Well, I'll be in touch with you in early March to do it again. I think we should do this monthly, you and I.
Sounds great, man. All right.
Thanks,
take
Dean.
Care.
Look after yourself. The brilliant Dean Henderson, live on the line there from Missouri. HendersonLeftHook.wordpress.com. Check him out. And as I said, where you find content that you appreciate and you value, do support it if you can. Only if you can, of course. If you can't, ignore it. Top man is Dean. Right, we're going to take a very, very quick break. When we come back, a couple of comments, and then we're wrapping it up. It's an early doors show today. I mentioned earlier on why. I'll tell you again in a minute. Back in a minute.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
is a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today.
Right, welcome back. Yeah, I'm finishing a half hour earlier than usual today. An old friend is in town, didn't know anything about it till today, and he's only around till the small hours of tomorrow, so I'm going to go and meet him and catch up with him. But that was a pretty packed show. I hope you enjoyed listening to Dean Henderson. He's a great guy, is Dean. Thanks for listening to Dean. The programme, of course, will be on podcast real soon, and it'll be on YouTube in the early AM tomorrow when Simon does that. Have a great weekend, by the way. I will talk to you again live on Sunday morning at 11 AM UK time with Sunday View, as I always do. That's Sunday View live on Sunday at 11 AM UK time, where I'll be just looking over the Sunday newspapers and having a close look at some of the stories inside as well. So there you go. Going to leave you with some Bob Dylan. This kind of messes up the repeat cycle, this, but I can't help it. I could have taken the night off, but I didn't want to do that. So it's just going to have to be a bit weird, the repeat cycle overnight. But the programme will be on Podomatic in about 10 minutes' time. And, of course, the programme will be on Spotify and iTunes and all the rest of it there as well. Speak to you on Sunday, leaving you with Dylan's Like a Rolling Stone. Bye for now. See you soon. Bye. Big shout to Dean Henderson again. Thanks, Dean.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you, people call, say beware doll, you're bound to fall. You thought they were all kidding you. Scrounging your next meal. How does it feel? How does it feel to be without a home? Like a complete unknown, like a rolling stone.
you shouldn't let other people.